Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms. Psalm 91, beginning at verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession again. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the ways in which your word is a weapon. Your word is an encouragement. Your word is a source of strength, counsel, insight, understanding, and truth. More and more, teach us how. Teach our hands to war. Teach us to be warriors that know how to take the weapon of your word, the sword of the Spirit, and use it to both build your kingdom and to tear down the kingdom of darkness. Help us to know, Lord, that you've called us to be aggressive warriors who know how to go out and do exploits in your kingdom. And help us to know, Lord, that your word is the key to that in every circumstance. Guide us to put the wonderful word to work more and more as the wonderful and powerful weapon it is each and every day effectively. We thank you. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're grateful to have as our producer, Rick Robertson. And Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us once again as we start the broadcast today.
Father, we are thankful for the listeners that you've gathered together today to hear your word read and to hear discussion about your word. Father, we pray that you will open up their ears to what you would have them to hear today, and that they would cling to it, that they would live their lives on the truths of your word. And Father, we're thankful for Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the one who was willing to die a terrible death on a cross for sinners like us. We rejoice in him today. We thank you for your precious Son, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, who is our guide day by day. We just praise you today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And we're blessed once again to have as our co-host today, Victory Holofield.
Hey,
great,
Pastor
great
Parker.
To have you, Victory.
Thank you for letting me be on today.
All right. It's good to have you with plenty of notice and little or no notice at all, too.
Be you ready in season, out of season with That's Pastor
right.
Parker.
That's right.
Yes,
That's
sir.
Right. As we start, would you say a word of prayer for us and the broadcast today as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, absolutely. Father, I am just so thankful for you, Lord. I really am. And I'm not just saying that just to be cliche. I am thankful for you because it's because of you that you sent Jesus, our Savior, my Savior, Lord, to die on the cross so that I can boldly come to your throne of grace, God. I am a wretched sinner, Lord. I am realizing that more and more, but I am so grateful because of Jesus. He made me righteous, and it's because of him, and I'm just so grateful, Lord. I ask that for every person that's listening right now, I don't assume that they know Christ, but if they don't, I ask that this broadcast, Lord, would give them a desire to want to know you, to want to look towards you. Father, I ask that you would prick their hearts, Lord, to let them realize that they need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. Lord, I'm just thankful for what you're doing through the hour of intercession, and I ask that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Victory, for being with us today. And, you know, the Word of God tells us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, God's word is many, many things to us. It's such a gift to us. It's such a blessing. And it's so wise for us to put God's word to work for in our lives each and every day. Mm-hmm. In many ways, too, I like to remind believers there are at least seven different ways we can use the Word of God every day. We can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it.
Come on.
Now, that's not all of the things. Yeah. Those are at least seven. But there are many more ways God's Word can be used in our lives. The Word of God is Jesus, mm-hmm. and Jesus is the Word. And it's good for us to plant more and more of the seeds of God's Word, because as we do, Jesus works on us. He molds and shapes us to become more and more like him.
He
so
really does.
We're wise to stay in the Word, and we're wise to encourage others regularly to be in the Word as well.
I want to say, I agree with everything you said. I'm actually not feeling my best today, but I'm rejoicing in the Lord, because moments when life is tough, where there's an illness, sickness, horrible catastrophes around you, that's when we really have to press in and make our flesh lean to the Lord, because that is where our help comes from. I'm reminded in scripture, like you said, God's word, it is life. It is a lamp unto our feet and light to our path. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 that in his weakness, he now boasts in his weakness, because mm-hmm. that's because God told him God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And it's still something hard for me to conceptualize, but I'm realizing that Christ makes me strong, but it's not because of me, it's because of Christ. Mm-hmm. But that actually my weakness is a beautiful thing in God's eyes, because it shows that I need him, and that mm-hmm. he's all powerful, and that he is with me and us, all of us who, because we're all horrible people, you know, honestly, but I'm just.
We desperately need
Jesus. We desperately need him and his word. And mm-hmm. I'm just, yeah, and I'm grateful you asked me, because I'm not going to fib. When you asked me at first if I would join you today, at first I was like, Lord, I don't feel equipped. Like, I'm not even feeling it, even though I've still been making myself. But this is, God is being glorified.
Amen. Amen. And you know, today we're going to be looking specifically at the putting the weapon, the powerful weapon of Psalm 91 to work. And you know, earlier in the week, I had the privilege. Well, you know, we all can be learning more and more every day about this. And you know, earlier in the week, we had two recorded messages by Peggy Joyce Ruth, who's authored a number of books on Psalm 91. And today, as we look at the topic, specifically the topic of putting the powerful weapon of Psalm 91 to work, we're going to be sharing some stories from some of her books of testimonies of people who've put the powerful weapon of Psalm 91 to work in their lives, and they've seen the miraculous hand of God step in and bless them and use them and protect them and help them. Mm. And my challenge to every listener today is that you, if you don't have the Psalm 91 prayer, email us at jparker@afa.net. I'd be glad to send you a copy. Again, jparker@afa.net. And our challenge to every listener is start praying this prayer every day over yourself and over your family as well. Because, you know, Victory, we live in such a dangerous world, perilous world, so many things going on. You know, we continue to sadly hear from time to time shootings in different places, and we hear tornadoes and weather that has affected people. You hear so much on people's minds is the coronavirus and other diseases as well. And so it's important for us to know that in this world, it's full of dangers and perils. No one can protect us like God can.
Come on.
But we have our part to play. And one of the ways we can put the weapon of Psalm 91 to work is by praying it every single day. So as we start, I'm going to start off by just praying it with our listeners. And we invite our listeners to pray along with us, too, as we pray. Pray Psalm 91. And again, jparker@afa.net. If you want to get a copy of the prayer for you to pray over yourself as well, please do. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God. In you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler snare and from the noise and pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, nor does any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, praying Psalm 91, and we want to challenge and encourage every listener. If you haven't gotten a copy of that prayer from us, or if you don't have a copy, you can now keep in mind, obviously, you can take the Word of God itself and just draw, basically derive a prayer from it yourself. But we'd be glad to send you a copy of the prayer like I just prayed as well. jparker@afa.net.
Can I say this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I really like Pastor Parker's version. I say version. It's still the Word of God, because he changes the words to where the Bible may say you and it says I and God. So I really do like your copy. So definitely email jparker@afa.net.
Well, appreciate that
other
word
prayers,
of encouragement.
Yeah.
That's right. And of course, you know, we would like to send you copies of some other prayers we have that come straight from the Word, or they're based on the Word of God as well. Prayer tools. You know, Victor, everybody can use help and encouragement in their prayer life. Everybody.
Sure can. And you definitely do it. He holds me accountable, and I love it. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we really need to hold each other accountable,
yeah,
too, because
yeah,
we all need encouragement and strength. And the fact is, of all the areas of in our spiritual lives that the devil will try to attack, hinder, and shut down, our prayer life is one of the things,
yeah,
he will come against most heavily, because he recognizes that our prayer life is a means whereby we do great damage to the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm,
and we build the kingdom of God as well.
You know, I think if we were to hold on to what you just said about how Satan tries, that's one of the main areas he'll distract us in, is prayer and our Bible reading.
Mm-hmm.
That right there should show how effective prayer and reading God's word is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, because we hear that a lot, but it's true. Like when I think about times when I'm about to have my quiet time, somebody calls me.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody sends me a text, or I get a somebody's coming by my house, and I'm like, any other time when,
mm-hmm,
like that doesn't happen, but the moment that I'm really about to focus on the Lord, so that's when we have to be sober-minded and alert, because the adversary roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
That's right. And in every situation you're dealing with spiritual warfare,
right,
like it or not, that's just the reality of it. And often the battleground in our lives is our mind,
mm-hmm,
you know. The passing thought. Now, some thoughts, some things that we just think is a passing thought is the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But then some things we, thoughts that come to our mind are the voice of the devil, encouraging or encouraging us to do something we shouldn't do, or trying to discourage us from following the Lord. But we need to understand this, and our chief weapon is, of course, the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we talk about putting Psalm 91 to work in our lives, again, our challenge to every single listener is that you will start to pray Psalm 91 every single day over yourself and over your family, because again, no one can protect you like God can.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, it takes all of maybe two and a half minutes to pray. It doesn't take long, but it's being good stewards of the manifold grace of God,
mm-hmm,
because we release the grace and the power of God when we pray, and it's the grace to protect and to help and to strengthen and encourage us as we pray that prayer. So we'll share more about using Psalm 91 every day. And we're going to be sharing from some of Peggy Joyce Ruth's books as well. So our co-host today is Victor Holofield. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Stephen Curtis Chapman, More Than Conquerors. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our co-host today is Victory Hollifield. As today we're looking at the topic, putting the powerful weapon of Psalm 91 to work. And again, we're encouraging and challenging every single listener. Email us to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer at jparker@afa.net. And we're encouraging you, and please begin to pray it absolutely every day over yourself and over your family. In the perilous, dangerous, crazy world we live in, no one can protect you like God can, but we have our part to play. Our part is to put it to work by praying it or speaking the promises of Psalm 91 over your life. Again, either praying it or speaking those promises. That's how we put it to work. You know, Victory, in the natural, when you pick up a weapon, you typically pick up, whether it's a sword or a gun, you pick it up with your hand. But in the spirit realm, we put weapons to work with our words, with our mouths. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the ways to put them to work, by praying or speaking the word of God. I'm going to be sharing from one of the books by Peggy Joyce Ruth. This one is entitled Psalm 91 for Teens. And this is a portion of chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, sharing the story of a young boy that learned how to put Psalm 91 to work in his life. This is chapter 1, Where is Your Secret Hiding Place? Psalm 91, verse 1 says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And this subtitle of this chapter is Airborne. It was July 4th weekend a few years back in Montana. Everything was normal that night. Well, normal for the 4th anyway. My whole family was sitting on a blanket in a park watching the fireworks show. My mom, my dad, my sister, and brother, our two dogs and me. As the fireworks ended, my dad had all of our stuff packed in a little red wagon we brought while simultaneously holding the dogs on a leash, and we began walking back to our car. We'd come to the road and were getting ready to cross, but I was a little too impatient to get home. So when my dad signaled us to cross, I took off like an Olympian, except not as fast or graceful. Seemingly out of nowhere, I was struck by a red car, which was later reported to be going 45 miles per hour.
Oh, my goodness.
Onlookers said I went flying straight up into the air, but I never knew it.
Wow.
It felt like I was on the hood the whole time. The reason I don't know is my eyes were closed, and I couldn't have opened them even if I'd tried. The next thing I knew, I was on the ground. At that time, all I could think was, my family's going to be shocked and scared that I was just hit by a car. I need to calm them down. So I stood up in the blink of an eye and said, I'm okay, with a smile on my face. What wasn't such a big crowd initially seemed to have tripled in size. However, my efforts to keep everyone calm seemed to be in vain, as I could hear murmurs all around me. My mom was rushing to me, panicking, and I could hear my dad arguing with the driver of the car that just hit me. When I looked toward the car, I saw that the window was cracked severely, and the front was very badly dented. It felt so smooth just a second ago, I thought to myself. At this point, my mom was very upset and praying Psalm 91 very loudly. She had the whole family praying, and my sister blurted out, "If God is so powerful, why did this happen?" It really upset me. I scolded her and said, "God is so powerful that when things like this happen, He protects us supernaturally." Immediately, to my surprise, the ambulance arrived, and I couldn't help but feel it wasn't needed because I felt just fine. All I still wanted to do was go home, but they kept asking me questions to see if I was injured. I answered every question correctly, so they said I was fine. But my mom took me to the ER anyway, and I sat there for hours. When I was finally examined, all they could find wrong with me was a scratch on my middle finger and a small headache, barely lasted an hour.
Wow.
My mom insisted on x-rays and tests, and it wasn't until after the doctor came in and told us that nothing was broken that we finally went home. I remember telling my mom, "I always knew God had a plan for my life, but He really must have something planned big for me, huh?" And she definitely agreed with me. I'm thankful every day that God protected me. That was from a little young man by the name of Avery at age 15.
Wow.
This family actively claims the promises of Psalm 91 on a daily basis. This passage is a place they dwell as a family. You can see it in Avery's story. Avery had Psalm 91 deep inside him because he had started memorizing the whole chapter at age 4 and had it completely memorized by the age of 7. It had become such a part of him that when the accident happened, he said he never felt fear and knew that he was protected even as the car hit him. Avery's mom was shouting, "We have Psalm 91 protection," as she watched her son go flying through the air like a rag doll and land on his head on the windshield. She prayed this psalm daily over her family, and even in the face of danger, she chose to find that secret place of the Most High. The front bumper where Avery hit was dented. The windshield had a spiderweb crack all the way across from where Avery's head landed, and the hood had a caved-in dent where he landed before he rolled off the car, and yet God had Avery in the shadow of His protection. It was nothing short of a miracle when you think of the damage Avery did to the car, yet the car didn't do damage to the 90-pound boy, Avery. Now, well, and that's a portion of chapter 1 of the book, again, Psalm 91 for teens.
I like that.
It's a powerful story. Yeah. And the beauty is, Avery's a young man, but he learned to put the Word of God to work. He learned Psalm 91 even as a child. Mm-hmm. And see, it literally saved his life.
You could tell he learned it because in the story, you even said that his mom was praying it over her son. Mm-hmm. Growing up, apparently his parents made him read the word. Well, and you said it. That was nothing but a miracle. And his sister better definitely believe in the good Lord. Growing up for me, my mom to this day, she prays. She has a list that she prays Psalms 91 and the Ephesian prayers. And she's been doing it faithfully for, I'm 30 now, 20 something years, maybe 30 years. Mm-hmm. And she motivates me because I'm not there yet, but I want to get there where I am consistently doing Psalms 91. There was something, you know, you shared with me last week. I always thought Psalms 91 was just for protection, like as far as physical harm outwardly. But mm-hmm. you even show me it's dealing. It also Psalms 91 hits on about illnesses, pestilence. And mm-hmm. but that's a powerful testimony.
It is. And, you know, sharing another one from the same book, too. Again, the testimonies are great because they demonstrate how that people who've taken the weapon of Psalm 91 and put it to work in their lives, they see the miraculous hand of God mm-hmm. and the results that follow as well. So this next story is a powerful one by a young lady. The title of this chapter is I Must Learn to Trust and to Say. This is chapter 2 of the same book again, Psalm 91 for Teens by Peggy Joyce Ruth, picking up in chapter 2. Psalm 91:2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, overpowered and empowered. And again, this is a story by a young lady named Julie Sherrick. One Sunday morning, I had gotten out of bed early to get ready for church when I heard a knock. My apartment complex was a peaceful, friendly place, and most unsolicited callers were Girl Scouts selling cookies or people searching for lost cats. I didn't even consider something terrible happening at 7 in the morning, so I opened the door. It had only moved a few inches when a large man shoved his way into my apartment and pushed me back through my bedroom door, making it clear that his intention was to harm me. I remember thinking, things like this don't happen to me. I must be dreaming. The man was so much larger and stronger than I was that I knew I couldn't fight him. He pushed me toward my room and pinned me down. We wrestled for about 10 minutes. I struggled, but I couldn't break free. At that point, I didn't know how God would deliver me, but I began saying out loud, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. The attacker told me to shut up. I answered back, I don't know who you are or what you've done, but even if the police are after you, but you need Jesus. I'm going to church today and you can come. My emotions were hysterical, but my spirit was strong. For a moment, he snapped out of it and looked around, but then his eyes glazed over and his face took on a demonic look, and he tried to pin me down again. I kept calling on Jesus, and the man told me to shut up if I wanted to live. Panicking, I managed to break away and get into the living room, but he caught me again. I told him that there were angels in the room. He looked me in the eye and snapped, there are demons in this room too. Calling on God, I replied, well, my angels are stronger than your demons. And then in a moment, he was at a standstill. I seized that moment of spiritual victory and managed to get out of the apartment to call the police. It had taken 45 minutes of spiritual battle as he came at me time after time, but I never quit calling out to Jesus and quoting his promises. And each time, it would bring confusion and immobility upon him, blocking every attempted attack. The police were able to track him by an earring he lost in the carpet. Later, after he was apprehended and held in custody, I found out that he had assaulted numerous young women, and I was the only one who had been able to escape without harm. I thank God for his covenant of protection, but we have to believe it and put it to work. It certainly saved my life that day. Again, Julie Sherrick. Julie Sherrick is a young woman who experienced God's miraculous intervention when she called aloud for his help during a frightening personal attack right in her own home. Her parents knew about Psalm 91 and prayed its promises daily for the protection of their children. And Julie had learned the value of asserting aloud that God was her place of safety and protection. Many people would not have the courage to do it in the midst of an attack, but of all times, during a crisis is when Psalm 91 spoken out loud is most powerful. Mm-hmm. Julie, who was greatly overpowered, got out of an assault by using her mouth, not by cursing the man or threatening him, but by declaring the word of God aloud. Remember, your mouth is a weapon. God has given you Psalm 91 as a way to defend yourself with his promises, but his weapon won't do you any good if you don't know how to use it. You probably know how to use a physical weapon. If I handed you a knife, would you try to use your foot or your big toe to make it work? Of course not. That sounds ridiculous. You know to use your hands and fingers to operate physical weapons. But many people don't know what part of your body is used in spiritual warfare. Well, do you know? You operate spiritual weapons with your mouth and your tongue. Amazingly, as insignificant as it may seem in the face of a powerful enemy, your most powerful weapon is your ability to speak the word of God under pressure. In the natural, Julie looked like she was unarmed, but she actually was armed with the word of God, and it saved her from the evil intentions of this man. A powerful story.
I like that. Armed and dangerous with the word of God.
That's right. And we as believers need to understand that this is a truth that every believer needs to learn and understand, speaking God's word mm-hmm. in the midst of spiritual warfare. And of course, you know, Victory, we're dealing with spiritual warfare every day, all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to say this, though. In order to speak his word, you first got to know it. So that's where reading the word of God comes in.
Mm-hmm. Reading and memorizing, meditating on the word.
Yes.
Spending time listening to it, as well as all of those are ways to plant the word in there so that we'll have access to the weapon of the word mm-hmm. when we need it as well.
I really like that book. Mm-hmm. I need to get that.
It's a powerful book.
Psalms 91 for teens.
Peggy Joyce Ruth is an excellent author, and she does a great job of teaching how to use the weapon of Psalm 91 mm-hmm. effectively in your life. Again, jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer we shared, please email us. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'll be right back. Dunson Oyekan, amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic of putting the powerful weapon of Psalm 91 to work, and we've been sharing from some of the books written by Peggy Joyce Ruth. We're about to share from the book entitled Psalm 91, Real Life Stories of God's Shield of Protection, which is a little different from the book, of course, Psalm 91 for teens, but all of them written by Peggy Joyce Ruth, and all of them powerful, powerful testimonies. As we start this segment, Victory, again, thanks again for co-hosting with us today. Would you say a word of prayer for our listeners to really grasp what God wants them to hear and learn today?
Absolutely. Man, Father, your word is so rich, and I'm just so thankful for Peggy Joyce Ruth, Lord, who's written these books pertaining to your word, specifically Psalms 91. And Lord, I just ask that the testimonies that Pastor Parker has shared, Lord, that it would motivate not only myself, but every person that is listening right now to truly be a warrior of your word. Lord, that we would soak it all in, that we would hunger and thirst for your word, to study it, to read it, to meditate upon it, and to apply it, Father. Help today's show, help it to not fall on deaf ears, Lord. Help us to take it and run with it and apply it to our lives, Lord, so that we too can benefit from your word, Lord. You said in Psalms 119, verse 16, I will not forget thy word. Father, help us to not forget it. Help us to hide it in our hearts so that we can honor you and to apply it, Father, and just uplift you and give you all the glory that you so rightfully deserve. Because when we work your word, the word works. I remember when I was in seminary school, we used to say, the word works and the word works for me. I ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Victory. And again, we're sharing from the book by Peggy Joyce Ruth entitled Psalm 91, Real Life Stories of God's Shield of Protection. And this one is it's a testimony by a young lady by the name of Renee Hood. She shares her own story of how she used Psalm 91 in her life to battle illness. Again, Renee Hood. My testimony begins in July 1998. At this point in my life, I had eaten almost nothing for approximately 2 months, yet I continued to gain weight. I could not go outside in the direct sunlight for any length of time without my face becoming irritated to the point that if you placed your hand on my face, the print of your hand would remain there.
Wow.
I had also begun to develop black spots on my face, arms, and legs. Later, a red rash appeared on my face and throughout my body. Bruises would appear without my falling or having been hit. During the month of July, my energy level was so low, it was a challenge just to clean the bathtub after bathing. My body became racked with pain, even when I tried performing a task as simple as brushing my teeth. One particular night is still fresh in my memory. For the previous week or so, I had been choking when I'd lie down at night. For this night was the same, but when I got up that morning, I made the shocking discovery I couldn't perform normal bodily functions. Knowing something had to be done quickly, I called my doctor early that morning. After his examination, he referred me to Scott and White Hospital to see Dr. Nichols, a nephrologist. The night prior to my seeing Dr. Nichols, my body aches had reached a new level. It became a norm for me to have a fever of 103 degrees or more. I felt like my brain was frying. I would lie on my bathroom floor in misery. My brown body transformed before my eyes into a gray color covered with perspiration and rolled up in a fetal position. I told the Lord it would be so easy to give up the ghost and just go home to be with him. But I said, Lord, I know you're not finished with me. Lord, I hurt so badly, yet I know there are people out there you've called me to touch. My kids need me. I know I am walking in the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil. You promised me, Lord, in Psalm 91, that only with my eyes would I see the reward of the wicked, that 1,000 would fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it would not come nigh me. My 18-year-old daughter took me to Temple Hospital. I was so weak I could barely walk. After a 25-minute examination, the nephrologist, with no bedside manner and no sense of caring, said,
yeah,
you are in the last stages of lupus and you're going to die. I give you 3 months and you will just go poop. I was very angry he would speak such words to me in the presence of my daughter without any sensitivity.
Yeah.
Then he said, it will not be easy because you will be in a lot of pain. But as he pointed to my daughter, she's big enough. She can take care of herself. Then he walked out the door. I looked at my daughter and assured her, Mom is not going anywhere. I was hospitalized, running a high fever and unable to eat. I would have involuntary shakes I couldn't control, and my right lung had collapsed because of the mass of protein my kidneys were now throwing into my system. I looked like a 7-month pregnant woman. My kidneys were shutting down, my joints ached and were swollen, and the doctors had found a mass on my liver. After 12 days of their making one mistake after another and causing me more suffering without my getting any better, I asked my doctor to help me dress and take me back home to Bangs, Texas, because God was going to give me a miracle. I am a living testimony of God's faithfulness to his promises. I went to my parents' house, where I would sit up and walk as well as I could, reminding God of what he had promised. You will not be afraid of the deadly pestilence. It will not approach you. You will not be afraid of the deadly pestilence. It will not approach you. My local doctor would call and remind me that those specialists said I was dying and I needed to be in a hospital, I wouldn't. I couldn't. I knew greater was He that was in me than he that was in the world. I had a supernatural peace, I was well, and the healing would manifest itself soon, so I kept pressing. Since I would not go back to the hospital, and my condition, my sight was no better, my doctor encouraged me to go to a nephrologist in Abilene, Texas. I finally agreed, but refused the medicine because of the side effects. Not one doctor gave me 1 ounce of hope, but I was determined to receive the healing Christ had provided. Then the miracle, very slowly, began to manifest. It was during those next few months I gradually started feeling better and better, and my strength started returning, slowly but surely. Finally, after I had been seeing the Abilene doctor for 2 months, and once again being put through a battery of tests, he stated, "I'm looking at your paperwork, and I'm looking at you. If you had let us do what we wanted to do, and you wouldn't, we doctors would be patting ourselves on the back, saying we had gotten you in remission. All I can say is, whatever you've been doing, just keep doing it." Then he told me I was a miracle. My doctor had a liver specialist meet me at the Brownwood Hospital, and after a CAT scan and 2 sonograms, he could not find any mass in my liver. I was then sent to a blood specialist, and after reading the reports, he repeated twice that I was a wonder. I've seen many Christmases since being told I would not even live to see that 1998 Christmas. Again, a powerful testimony by a young lady by the name of Renee Hood. Again, one of the testimonies in the book by Peggy Joyce Ruth entitled Psalm 91, Real Life Stories of God's Shield of Protection. You know,
I like that.
Victory, again, powerful stories, and just a reminder that we as believers need to learn how to battle by speaking the word. And again, I think of another book that written by Peggy Joyce Ruth entitled They That Trust in the Lord Shall Not Be Disappointed. As we learn to keep trusting God, because, you know, the fact is time tries trust. When we don't see results right away, the devil will tell us, it's not getting any better. In fact, sometimes he'll tell you it's getting worse.
Yeah.
But you know, God wants us to know if we put our trust in him and keep speaking his word, no matter what we see, the power of God is able to bring us through and bring us victory, even in what would appear initially to be a defeat. But the key is keep trusting, keep looking at the word of God, not your circumstances.
Mm-hmm. I commend that, sister. I can't say that I could have been that brave, because I will say, I just want to put this out there. I do believe in doctors, which I know Pastor Parker does too. You really got to know that you've heard from the Lord to not take medication. Mm-hmm. But I want to add this too, because growing up, every time I would read Psalm 91 or my mom would read it or anyone for that matter, I mm-hmm. always just saw it as protection from us.
Physical danger.
Physical harm. Yeah, yeah. Never saw it from a perspective of healing. And so that is, it's encouraging. It's definitely encouraging.
A powerful testimony. And again, it's a good example of the fact that we've got to learn how to be patient and persevere.
Excuse me.
You know,
right.
You know, down through the years as a pastor, one of the things I do is like, I encourage believers to use tools like Psalm 91 mm-hmm. and healing confession books as well. Now, I tell them, if you're on medication, stay on medication. If you're on therapy, stay on therapy. But the wonderful thing about using God's word is it's medicine with no bad side effects.
Okay, and it's free.
Mm-hmm. And so using the word of God is so wise. And, you know, I think often of the powerful testimony of Dodie Osteen, who was Joel Osteen's mother, who she was sent home to die from the hospital. She had, I think, stage 4 cancer, but she took a healing confession book that basically takes the word of God and helps you focus the healing power of God's word on your illness, mm-hmm. and begin to use it that way. And she used that, and slowly but surely, didn't happen overnight, but over a period of time, she kept speaking the word of God over her body, and slowly but surely, she got better and better and better. And Victor, that was over 40 years ago. And, you know, her husband, Pastor John Osteen, a great preacher, he's since passed away. But Dodie Osteen is still alive. And I think I've heard people say that if you ask her today, if you're still, you know, using those healing scriptures, she'll say every day.
Yeah.
And she looks well. And so the beauty is God's word works when you work it. And we have to just learn to faithfully and patiently put it to work and stand
patiently
on it.
Being persistent. I think because we live in a society that's a microwave society, we're so quick, we're used to quick access, Wi-Fi, cell phones, you know. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to God's word, it sometimes isn't quick. And
that's
I love
true.
How Mrs. Osteen, for example, and even the lady in the book that Peggy wrote about with the healing, they were persistent. Scripture tells us in Colossians 4:2, one of my favorite verses, devote yourself to prayer. Mm-hmm. And devote means commit, be consistent. It's a it's nonstop. You got to devote and be like the woman in, I think it was in Luke, that went to the king consistently. Mm-hmm. And finally the king was like, okay, I've had enough. I'm going to give you what you want. Because she was so persistent in her request. And Jesus used that example to tell us we need to be consistent and persistent when it comes to prayer and standing on God's word. And it can get weary because this flesh going to get in the way. That's
right.
Where you say, Lord, help me to be persistent. Help me to keep praying this over this situation, over my body.
You're exactly right. Again, we need to remember time tries trust. And if we don't see immediate results, again, in our humanness, too many times we want to give up. But God wants us to keep trusting him, keep persevering. And God will, and the fact is, God doesn't always come when we want him to.
Ooh, okay.
Sometimes we think, God, you're dragging your feet. Lord, you're taking a mighty long time. But remember, when we keep trusting God, God will show himself powerful on our behalf and bring us through. You know, the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, he came to Egypt as a slave, was in prison for a period of time, and it had no fault of his own.
Yeah.
But he kept his faith and trust in God, and eventually God moved him from the dungeon to the palace to being prime minister of the nation. Man. Keep your trust in the Lord. Again, to every listener, again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Email us to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer and begin to pray it every day over yourself and over your family. No one can protect you like God can.
Mm-hmm.
Victory, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Once again, the email is jparker@afa.net. Email us. We'd be glad to send it to you. When you get it, use it yourself and share it with family, friends, fellow church workers, because everyone can use help, strength, and encouragement in their prayer life. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.